It can't be worse than some of the fantasy drafts he's had in the past couple of years. Hey!
Hey!
What's up?
That's where we need a live drop.
You're listening to Let's Talk Fantasy Football, where men of fantasy genius have realized, hey guys, we don't need real football skills to dominate on the fantasy field. Oh, yeah. Yeah. So slap on your pads and grab your helmet. Shit's about to get real.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, to another edition of Let's Talk Fantasy Football. I am your host, Nick Schreck, and joining me tonight is easily our smartest fantasy analyst. He is here, actually, on the ground in Jersey. It's Nick Walsh. Walsh, what's going on, bud?
Not much, dude. I'm doing pretty well. I am coming to you from the house I grew up in rather than my apartment in San Francisco, which is a nice change. I'm back in New Jersey. Give a quick shout out to our close friend and a listener, so he'll hear this. Tyler Corder, who's getting married on Friday, which is why I'm back in New Jersey. But Schreck, how are you doing, man?
I'm doing fantastic, Walsh. We're here to talk fantasy football. Tyler's taking a plunge, good or bad, come Friday. It's going to be great. It's a great week. You're back in Jersey. We're excited for Tyler. We're excited to talk fantasy football. And, quite frankly, actually, I was super pumped. I got an email earlier today from someone who's looking to work with us, and I won't give any shout outs yet. But in his email, he said, I am listening to your boys on the podcast right now while I'm cracking open a White Claw because of your recommendation. And it was a beautiful thing to read. So he'll probably hear that shout out here on this episode. I just thought it was a testament to you guys and your White Claw shout out. So
seriously, man, that's wonderful things. Also, you said Tyler's taking the plunge for good and bad. It can't be worse than some of the fantasy drafts he's had in the past couple of years. Hey,
what's up? That's where we need a live drop.
Your fantasy draft skills suck, Tyler.
Take that. So only up for Tyler, but in all seriousness, we are super excited for him and Dana come Friday. Maybe we'll get a live podcast done at the wedding for you guys. That'd be cool. And I'm sure they'd really appreciate that.
Definitely.
On Friday, not stealing their thunder at all. But Walsh, before we start talking fantasy football here today, let's give a shout out to Auction Drafts. Auction Draft is the best site for running your fantasy football auction league in 2018. You can sign up now and get on the list for launch by going to letstalkfantasyfootball.com/auction-draft. And guys, because you're here from Let's Talk Fantasy Football, we want you to tell them that we sent you. And for that, you use the code LTFF. Auction Draft is going to give you 50% off your league for the 2018 season. And they want you to know how important it is that you're listening to the podcast, you're playing Auction Draft with them. And we're soon enough going to have a live podcast coming to you guys while we do our very first Auction Draft as Let's Talk Fantasy Football. And I'm looking forward to that one, Walsh.
Oh yeah, that should be a lot of fun. Auction drafts are super wild and super stressful, but also extremely fun.
So lots of ups and downs. I can promise you the DON will be here, and the DON will definitely lose his mind as he overpays, I'm sure, for Aaron Rodgers and many, many, many others. But Walsh, I also want to just give a shout out to ourselves here, toot our own horn just a little bit. We are now in the running at podcastawards.com for the podcast. So for those of you guys that listen, whether you like us, whether you don't, it would be cool punishment to put us up there to have to accept an award for the podcast. So if you hate us, definitely nominate us. If you love us, nominate us, or do it for the Don, the DON.
Seriously.
We're doing it for him. So guys, go to podcastawards.com. You can register for free. Click on the nominations tab, and then you can vote for us in the best in show, and then the sports category. So again, we'd appreciate it whether you love us, hate us. But with that, Walsh, let's dive in. Let's start with the Seattle Seahawks, and let's kick it off at QB with Russell Wilson coming off the board right now. QB number 3, first pick in the 6th round. I know we tend to shy away from QBs early, but do you think he's priced right for kind of what he's done there? We've watched a bad offensive line, but he's had a career high in passes last year of 553. He's entering a prime age at 29. I think he's probably about where he should be. I think he may finish higher than QB3.
Yeah, I think QB3 is about right for him. I'm not really going to be touching him in that range. You touched on it, but we tend to wait a little bit on quarterbacks. I do think there's reason to be to not expect really his performance that he had last year. First of all, the Seahawks hired Brian Schottenheimer as their offensive coordinator. He is an old school coach that seemingly gets jobs for no reason, just because he's like a name in the business or whatever. But not to give throw too much shade on him, but he wants to run the ball more as like this old school coach. He, you know, drafted Rashad Penny way ahead of when anyone thought he was going to go. He's trying to bring in a fullback, which, you know, not that many teams even really carry fullbacks that much anymore. So he wants to run the ball a lot more. That's obviously not good for Russell Wilson's volume. Mm-hmm. I mean, maybe it'll improve his efficiency, but he's one of the most efficient quarterbacks in the league, no matter what volume he's throwing it at. So I don't think that moves the needle too much. For me, he's priced right. I guess I'm not going to touch him. I don't think you should expect what he did last year.
Fair enough. I agree. I think, you know, you look at, like you said, that line, what they're going to do with the running game. And he was super efficient. I mean, also his tight end, and we'll talk about him, Ed Dixon. It's not exactly like the inspiration of confidence, as a passing target, but we'll talk about the other ones. But I think we're in agreement there. Let's shift to that running back, position, Wallace, because you talked about the change there and the focus on fullbacks and running backs and all these kind of different pieces. I have a quote here actually, and, comes from Pete Carroll, who, for those of you that know me at all, I can't stand the man. And you'll see why again after this quote. "We have a real formula for how we win," stated Carroll. "We've been unable the last 2 years to incorporate a major aspect of that. It is to run the football the way we want to run." And I hate that because their O-line still isn't great. And they have so many different running backs and pieces, possibly a fullback coming into the mix, that I really don't know what to make of it. You got Rashad Penny coming off the board, the fifth pick in the fourth round, running back 20. I know they went up. They got him way ahead of anybody else's expectations, but so you got to think he gets the opportunity based on what they paid. But I don't know. I don't really like any of the running back situation right now because of the uncertainty, Walsh.
Yeah, if I'm really trying to go after anyone, I think it's Chris Carson, because even though they went ahead and they drafted Rashad Penny as early as they did, anytime the coaching staff gets a chance to talk about Chris Carson, they immediately praise him. They praised him all last year. They've been praising him this offseason. It seems like they really do like him. He's going off the board of the first pick in the 11th round. That's running back 47. Penny, I'm just really not in on. He's a guy who... you know, pretty much anyone who covers the NFL draft thought he got extremely overdrafted. He was the second running back off the board. And I don't think a single person who, you know, covered the draft would have called that. So I don't really understand it too much. I'd rather not take the risk on a guy who so many people didn't think should really go there, particularly at running back 20 in the fourth round. Dude, it's a pretty serious price to pay. And I know you're not looking at, you know, too much talent around him, but I just don't think it's worth it. I think Chris Carson's the guy, if you're going to target anyone in the Seahawks backfield, that you should be looking at.
Completely, completely agree. I mean, you know, again, coach speak and GM speak is kind of, it's nonsense at this point. We talk about it all the time. It's hype, but, you know, they word out of Seattle is that he's been the most impressive running back this summer. GM John Schneider said that Chris Carson looks like the best player on the field. He's added 10 pounds of muscle, and he was the first name Pete Carroll mentioned when asked which player impressed him the most when reporting back for offseason work. So, especially at the price, give me Chris Carson all day. Rashad Penny is just—it's not going to cut it for me. What about the other running backs? Do you care about any of them? I don't really think there's any value. I think right now this is Chris Carson. I'm sorry, and Rashad Penny.
Yeah, I mean, I think J.D. McKissic is a name to kind of keep in mind as we continue, because he was actually pretty good, particularly in the passing game last year. So if you get an injury or something like that, you might see J.D. McKissic jump in, or even without injury, you might see him get some sort of work there. Mike Davis and C.J. Procise, I think you can safely ignore at this point. Procise was a guy that I liked a lot out of college, but he really hasn't materialized into anything. He's been constantly injured. So yeah, McKissic's the guy to keep an eye on, but not really to draft.
Okay, fair enough. So keep your eye on him, guys, or if you're playing in dynasties and all these super deep, crazy leagues and whatnot. But Walsh, let's move over to wide receivers and talk about Doug Baldwin, who's a guy that seems to defy logic and I think stats. You know, we talk about regression and some of these things, and you know, particularly you know, are big on regression and these stats, and he has consistently defied many fantasy analysts predicting a drop off for Doug Baldwin. You know, he's ranked top 16 among wide receivers in fantasy points per game each of the past 3 years. And that's despite ranking 21st, 27th, and 42nd in targets per game over that stretch. So he just continues to kind of produce. And the Seahawks lost 172 combined targets this offseason with Jimmy Graham and Paul Richardson leaving the team, which means those targets have to go somewhere. I love Doug Baldwin at wide receiver 10.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I think he's an incredible pick. He's a guy that I'm targeting in pretty much all of my drafts. I think how you were saying they lost all those targets with Jimmy Graham and Paul Richardson. They also lost 41 red zone targets, which is an insane amount of red zone targets. So not all of those are going to go to Doug Baldwin, or even not all of those are going to become passing targets. The Seahawks only scored one rushing touchdown with their running backs last year. Yep. So you'd expect fewer passing touchdowns this year just based on that and based on the way they've been talking this offseason. But still, Doug Baldwin is one of those guys who, you said it, you know, we look for regression and that sort of thing based on his efficiency metrics. But at this point, we just have to accept that he with Russell Wilson throwing the ball to him, is just way more efficient than the average wide receiver. So yeah, Doug Baldwin, I think, you know, could set a career high in targets this year. We know his efficiency is incredible, and I think he could set a career high in red zone targets this year. So yeah, everything's kind of coming together for him to have just a spectacular year.
Which is wild, because forever everyone has been like, he's got to drop. And I agree. Now is the time to open our arms and give Doug Baldwin the hug that he has deserved for so many years. And I'm sure at some point I was out on Doug Baldwin, but, I have seen the light, as they say, with the Lord and in Doug Baldwin. Walsh, I do want to hit on, and you nailed it. Graham and Richardson combined to leave 20 targets behind just inside the 10-yard line last year. It's more than 11 teams totaled last year. So again, just based on that volume and everything else, I agree, nothing but up for Doug Baldwin. I think he's a great value there. What about the other wide receivers? We got Tyler Lockett coming at wide receiver 60, 12th pick in the 13th round, and Brandon Marshall, who is undrafted currently. And then you've got Jaren Brown as well as undrafted. Any of those guys interest you?
I love Tyler Lockett. He's another one of just, you know, a guy that I'm going after in basically every draft. Because, you know, end of the 13th round, that's a huge who cares on it.
Practically free.
Yeah, pretty much. And Lockett was coming off a broken fibia and tibia last year. He broke those bones in week 16 of 2016. So this is a guy who looked a little sluggish, looked a bit slower last year, but he was coming off a very significant leg injury that happened late in the season the year before. So I think with another year to recover from that injury, and then also just the increased opportunity that we were talking about in this offense, you've lost so many targets, they have to go somewhere. Lockett's a guy who a lot of people thought was extremely talented coming out of college. And I think he is very, very likely to return way more than the draft capital that you're investing in him. So yeah, Lockett in the 13th round, sign me up every day of the week.
Walsh, we are freaking in sync tonight, man. We're bobbing and weaving together, because I agree with Tyler Lockett here. And I really, you know, I'm not to go back to Doug Baldwin, but I almost think both of them are somewhat underpriced for what I think the upside is for both of them. Like you said, based on the opportunities, the red zones, the et cetera, particularly Tyler Lockett, obviously at almost free 14th round, you know, pick. But I think nothing but upside. I actually read a report today on Brandon Marshall that said that he very well may get cut by the Seattle Seahawks, depending on what goes on with his health, with coming off the ankle surgery and toe surgery and whatnot. They only guaranteed him $90,000 in the contract they gave him in May. So I wasn't interested there anyway, but I think that goes to show you the drastic drop off from Tyler Lockett and Doug Baldwin, particularly for what you can get in the 14th round at Tyler Lockett.
Yeah, 100%. I'm with you on Marshall too. I would like to say, I think Jaron Brown is, kind of an interesting guy. He seemingly has all the physical tools, and he has produced in sort of limited opportunities throughout the years in Arizona. I don't think you should be drafting him. I just think he's a guy to keep an eye on. Maybe an injury comes up, that sort of thing. Might be a guy to keep in mind for a waiver wire ad at some point during the season.
Fair enough. Well, guys, there you have it. Russell Wilson, and big thing for the passing game at wide receiver. Walsh, let's talk about tight end. Ed Dixon, I think, is the presumed starter at this point. And then you got Nick Vannett there as well. I have no interest in either of the tight ends, despite the target opportunity there as a whole.
Hard no on both of them. The Seahawks offense didn't feature a tight end really before Graham, and they even had trouble incorporating Graham into the offense in his first year with the team. So if they're having trouble incorporating Jimmy Graham into the offense, I don't think Ed Dixon is going to move the needle.
Totally fair. I'm right there with you. So that's it, guys. Don't even spin the tight end wheel in Seattle. And with that, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to hear from Auction Draft. We're going to refill our drinks, and we're going to be back, and we're going to be talking San Francisco 49ers and kick things off with Jimmy G. Here's Auction Draft.
Auction Draft is the ultimate fantasy football auction draft experience. With full season and 5-week seasons available, you get the best of both worlds. It's time to play fantasy football the way it was meant to be played. Visit auctiondraft.net to learn more and save 50% off the 2018 season price with promo code LTFF. We'll see you on the field.
All right, guys, we're back, and that was Auction Draft. Again, you can sign up now, auctiondraft.net. Use the promo code LTFF, and you get 50% off your league for 2018. That is an incredible discount. James and the team will take great care of you guys over there, and we're excited for our draft. But since we're not there yet, Walsh, let's kick it off here. Jimmy G coming off the board, QB9, fourth pick in the ninth round. They gave him a 5-year deal worth $137.5 million. I kind of stumbled on that because it's a lot of freaking money. But I think he's going to be great for the 49ers. And I think it was a very, very, very smart move. From a fantasy perspective, do you expect him to continue the trend where he was playing really well last year for him?
Yeah, I mean, you would think there'll be some sort of regression involved there with you know, a 5-game sample size and him just being so incredible. But I mean, he was QB6, fantasy QB6 during those 5 weeks that he was starting for the Niners in 2017. So, hey, taking him at QB9 doesn't seem too bad to me. He's not someone that I'm going out of my way to target, but I think if I'm looking for a quarterback, which I generally start looking in like the 10th, 11th type round, kind of round. So he's going a little bit ahead of that. But if you're in a league where maybe quarterbacks tend to fall, for example, our home league, quarterbacks fall. That's the way it works. I might end up with Jimmy G in that league just because he'll probably fall to the 10th or the 11th rather than being drafted so early. I like where he's going.
Totally fair. And I think he finishes as that top 10 QB. You know, you look at, again, like you said, it's dangerous to, you know, kind of extrapolate that 5-game sample size. So, you know, I'll stay away from doing that. But, you know, some regression, but, you know, Shanahan, I think is going to be obviously the huge piece there. You know, I was looking at some stats courtesy of Pro Football Focus, you know, where they said out of the 6 quarterbacks that Shanahan has worked with, half of them have saw significantly better fantasy results under his lead than without it in their second years. So that was Shab, Griffin, and Ryan. They note that as far as fantasy ranking, all 3 of the quarterbacks Shanahan worked with over multiple seasons were in the top 10 in fantasy scoring at their position in their second year. So again, Jimmy G, second year technically there in 2018, smaller sample size, wasn't a full season. But I think he's priced right. And will finish probably as a top 10 QB.
Yeah, I'm right there with you, man.
All right, Walsh, I'm going to let you take this one away because I think you have lots of great things to say about our next guy here, running back Jerick McKinnon. Am I right?
Yeah, so I've kind of been a fan of Jerick McKinnon for a long time. He's currently going ninth pick in the second round. That's running back 13th. So I keep going back and forth because I get very optimistic on him and then sort of try and rein myself back in a little bit. But the case for Jerick McKinnon, one, he had his best year of his career last year. You know, he played very well for the Vikings, had about 60 targets, you know, had a career year in touchdowns, that sort of thing before he got hurt. And then two, the Niners made him the fourth highest paid running back in the league this offseason.
They paid him a lot of money.
And, you know, a good coaching staff, a good team will make that kind of signing and then still go away from him if they don't think it's going to work out, like during the season or in the preseason or whatever. But goddamn, if you're going to make a guy the fourth highest paid running back in the league, you got to be planning on using him. Yeah. So you would think at least he's going to get the opportunity to show them everything he's got for, you know, at the very least the first half of the season or that kind of thing. And then if he sucks, maybe they move on from there. But I really don't think he's going to be bad. Shanahan, you know, you were talking about how he's gotten the most out of quarterbacks. He's just a good offensive coordinator. He's gotten the most out of most of his running backs too. And if you think about Jerick McKinnon and sort of that Devontae Freeman role where, you know, they have some guys behind him, maybe one of those guys is getting 10 touches a game and McKinnon's getting 20 touches a game. McKinnon getting 20 touches a game. And, you know, I think it's reasonable for him to get 100 targets as well as part of that 20 touches a game. That's completely pays off his price right there at running back 13. If someone's going to get, you know, 20 touches a game and 100 targets as part of that, they're going to be an RB1. And he's going as the first RB2 right now. So, I mean, and to kind of quantify those targets, Carlos Hyde in this offense last year had 88 targets. Matt Breida had an additional 36. Carlos Hyde was kind of getting benched for Breida toward part of the end of the year. So if McKinnon's really out there for those 20 touches a game, you know, 18 touches a game, whatever it may be, I think 100 targets is extremely reasonable. So yeah, I'm pretty in on Jerick McKinnon where he's going right now.
What is the biggest thing that when you talk yourself back off that ledge a little bit, Walsh? Because I mean, we saw some pictures of you by a ledge the past couple of days, and I want to make sure that wasn't you going back and forth on McKinnon.
I cannot confirm or deny whether it was based on Jerick McKinnon, but one of the things is that McKinnon has never really had that kind of workload before. So we talk about him being able to, you know, hold up under this. We don't know if he actually can. We don't know if physically he can do that. He's also kind of been, up until last year, he's been a relatively inefficient runner. So he's always been a pretty good scat back, good at, you know, catching passes out of the backfield. Can he hold up between the tackles? Can he be that primary guy for 16 games a season? And then how, you know, I was saying the number one thing is they paid him so much. Yeah. What if they decide that, you know, they don't like him? You know, it's a new running back, and obviously they wanted him. They went out and got him. They paid him so much because they wanted him specifically. They weren't going to give that money to just anyone. Sure. But I mean, he is on a new team and he's an unproven player. So I think there are definitely reasons against him, which is why I'm not going crazy and like trying to take him at the beginning of the second round or that kind of thing.
Fair enough.
But if you're telling me mid to late second round, yeah, Jerick McKinnon, I think is a pretty nice pick.
All right. Well, there you have it, guys. Walsh back and forth on the ledge. He also likes roller coasters. right now, he's playing with the edge on Jerick McKinnon, but he is a fan. So keep an eye on his ADP, guys, as we move through. Let's look at the next running back behind him, Walsh. Matt Breida coming in at running back 54, second pick in the 13th round. You know, he isn't, I would say, an explosive back, but he seems pretty good. He can keep the chains moving. Like you said, he kind of took over some of that role from Carlos Hyde there towards the end of the year, and was kind of involved. I don't have a problem. I actually am cool with his ADP, particularly because of the things you noted on the negatives of Jerick McKinnon there. Can he hold up? What if they don't like him? They move away from him. He may not have the upside right away in fantasy drafts, but depending on how things go with McKinnon, he very well could trend upwards, I think, as we move into the season.
Yeah, absolutely. I think his ADP is extremely fair. Like we talked about with Tyler Lockett, it's the 13th round. Yep. You can do what you want there. I don't think it's a bad idea even to handcuff McKinnon with Breida because it's such a late pick. I think he's fine there. It is interesting. They have a couple other guys behind him in Joe Williams, who they actually drafted ahead of him. They were both rookies last year, and Williams was the guy that we kind of thought might emerge in the backfield with Carlos Hyde, but it was Breida who did it. They also have Jeremy McNichols and Raheem Mostert, all of whom have you know, been talked up by certain people throughout, you know, their time in the league. But I'm kind of interested to see how any of that works out. I don't know that the Niners are going to necessarily say, like, if McKinnon were to go down, I don't know if the Niners say Brady is the guy and now he's getting 18 touches a game, or whether maybe it's some sort of combination of those guys that we're not really sure of.
Totally, totally agree. It'll be I hate to put it this way, but it almost like the, some of the ugly three-headed monsters we've seen out of Seattle backfields in the past, and we've seen it elsewhere. Where we were just like, this sucks, and we have no idea where it's going to go. But for now, McKinnon show for sure. And then, you know, if you want to take a dart throw on one of those guys, be our guest. But 13th round, practically free. I do like the handcuff thing. I didn't really think about it because I typically do stay away from handcuffing. But I actually do think it could be a good move there, particularly with the downside we talked about on McKinnon. So thank you for that, Walsh. Look at that.
You got it, man.
People helping people, man. on to wide receiver. We will start with the one, the only, Pierre Garçon, wide receiver 32, third pick in the seventh round. He is actually 32 years old. Look at that. What are the odds? Wide receiver 32. That is 32. Stupid facts only coming to you courtesy here. Let's talk fantasy football. But he ends his first season with the 49ers early with an injury. But he flashed some potential there, finished with 40 catches and 500 yards in 8 games. And that was with Hoyer and Bethard at QB. So now he's fully healthy. He gets Jimmy G throwing the football. You know, he slides into the familiar X role, I think, in Kyle Shanahan's offense here. So, you know, the veteran wideout led the NFL with 113 receptions in 2013 in that same role under Shanahan. You know, I think he offers some nice PPR value there in that offense as a whole at his current price there of third pick in the seventh.
Yeah, super about Pierre Garçon in the seventh round. He was on pace for 144 targets last year before getting hurt. So they seem like they want to use him pretty well. I mean, he's not likely to break a big play. He's probably not going to get you anything more than 6 touchdowns if he plays a full season. But if you can get somewhere from 130 to 145 targets out of the guy, I mean, he pays off wide receiver 32 in spades. The only concern I do have is he doesn't have that chemistry yet with Jimmy Garoppolo. You know, we saw Garoppolo really have good chemistry with guys like Marquise Goodwin, George Kittle, even Kyle Juszczyk, the fullback there. So I'm not too concerned about that. I think it's well worth the price, but it is something to keep in mind that he's never played with Garoppolo before.
Yeah, no, it's a good point. And something to think about as we talk about next, Marquise Goodwin, and we'll talk about George Kittle as well. You know, Goodwin coming off the board, wide receiver 42, seventh pick in the ninth round. He was targeted in 6 games with Jimmy G. He was targeted 13 times on 3rd and 4th down. You know, Goodwin should be a happy receiver, I think, in 2018 with Garoppolo there. I think he's – I hate to say it because I really do like Pierre, but right now, based on what we know, he's probably Jimmy G's most reliable target, just based on that chemistry and consistency. Maybe Garçon forms into it. Still love the upside of Garçon, but, you know, Goodwin at wide receiver 42, I think you have to love as well. If you like Pierre there, here's a guy that is still going to see a bunch of targets at a cheaper price. And I think nothing but good things here for Goodwin as well.
Okay. Yeah. I'm less bullish on Goodwin. Just because of sort of his splits with and without Garçon. When Garçon was on the field with him, he only averaged about 3 catches for 50 yards per game. So not spectacular there, but he is a deep play guy. You know, he can break a deep one at any point. And we don't know if that role is going to change. Garçon's older. He doesn't have the chemistry with Garoppolo. There's just a lot of moving parts here that make it a little difficult to predict. I certainly wouldn't begrudge anyone for taking Marquise Goodwin in the ninth rounds, but for me, I see him still more as a deep play guy who's going to be a little difficult to predict week to week. And I'm not sure that I really want him on my roster as anything more than a bye week fill-in who you're hoping catches a touchdown that week.
Totally fair, Walsh. Totally fair. I don't have any argument against it. Do you have any interest in these other wide receivers here? Trent Taylor, Aldrick Robinson, Dante Pettis,
I mean, Trent Taylor's likely going to be the slot guy, so you'll see him probably have a couple playable games. He is coming off back surgery though too, so who knows? It's certainly not worth drafting. Aldrick Robinson, I don't think is worth much, and then Dante Pettis is kind of an interesting guy. He was the 12th pick of the second round this year, but in his rookie year here, he will likely just be a punt returner and be on the field sparingly. If you do play in Dynasty, that sort of thing, I kind of like Dante Pettis. There's been some talk of him maybe being the heir apparent to sort of that X receiver role from Pierre Garçon in Kyle Shanahan's offense. So maybe a couple years down the line, he's a guy that we're talking about as worth an early pick. But right now, I don't think it's quite there yet.
All right. Some little Dynasty info, little nugget there from Walsh, looking out for your Dynasty players. The other pass catcher in this offense, Walsh, Kittle, coming off the board tight end 11, fifth pick in the 10th round. Over the past decade, he is just one of 9 rookie tight ends to eclipse the 500-yard mark, which is pretty awesome considering he spent a lot of the season with Brian Hoyer and Bethard under center, I think. I'm trying to say, what was the stat here? He was tight end number 5 over the 49ers' last 3 games. So I won't use that because that's a super concentrated sample size there with Jimmy G, but I think it paints a picture, like you said, of that comfortability and of things to come.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the big thing to realize with him is that no one else on this 49ers team, none of the other pass catchers really profile as red zone targets. So George Kittle last year tied for the lead on the team in red zone targets. That was 16 targets. On very limited snaps relative to, you know, most of the people who are getting 16 plus red zone targets in the NFL. So, I mean, I see him as basically a lock for 20 plus red zone targets this year. He'll increase it on his overall 63 targets, I think. And the guy is a huge professional wrestling fan. So you really can't go wrong with him. I don't think, I think Kittle in the 10th round is another one of those where if I see him there, that's just like, oh, yeah, I'm taking this no problem.
Man, I mean, the professional wrestling thing is what puts it over the top for you. I know it's not about his football talent. It's more about, you know, you guys share that love, correct?
Exactly. That's 100% what it is. I don't care if he gets me touchdowns, but I think he will anyway.
And that's a nice bonus. And I'll tell you what, Walsh, as a whole, I think I'm higher on the 49ers than one I've ever been, and two than I expected to as I started working through this podcast, which I don't know if that's scary or if that's just the reality. So I'm kind of unsure about how I feel about it at the moment. I'm way more optimistic on the 49ers than ever.
I think they'll have a great year this year. Their offense should be very solid. And I'm excited to one, to watch them, and then two, just to be around them or be around like the fans and the atmosphere, that sort of thing. Most of the time, it's not that fun to watch 49ers games in San Francisco, but I think it will be this year.
You know, Walsh, I think times are changing. You know, you came back to Jersey, you brought a little of that San Fran magic. That's why we're feeling good tonight. And when you go back, hopefully some good 49er football out there for you. But with that, let's move into, we have two questions here. Two questions, or do we have more than that? I apologize. I think it's we got 4 questions. I apologize.
Oh, wow.
Ball there. So big night on questions so far early in the season. First one comes from Ed, and it's not that Ed for his question of the week, but this one does come from another Ed. He says, I'm in a 12-team dynasty PPR league. What do you think of trading Todd Gurley, Russell Wilson, and Jarvis Landry for Barkley, Josh Gordon, and Deshaun Watson? I won the league last year, but thinking about getting younger for the long term. Thanks.
So the first thing I would say is I don't know if you're getting that much younger. Russell Wilson's older, but Landry's actually younger than Josh Gordon. And then Gurley's going into, what, his 4th year in the league?
Fourth year.
Yeah, so it's not – I mean, I guess everything matters, but it's not that much younger. I don't know. Position by position – Gordon, I think long-term is better than Landry.
Yep.
So I think you're upgrading there. Gurley for Barkley, I don't think long-term that's an upgrade. Though I don't think you're giving up too much. And then Wilson for Watson, I think is a little difficult to tell as well. You're definitely getting younger, but I don't know if you're getting better. I don't know. I'm having a t- tough time with this. What do you think, man?
Yeah, I mean, I agree on, and I think the only clear cut one there is the Landry Gordon, you know, trade off. You know, Barkley and Gurley. I mean, you know, like, because Gurley is like right now he's the hot shit, and you're gonna smell it. You know, and Barkley's kind of he's the hot item, but we haven't seen him play, and I think he's gonna be great. That's not saying anything differently, but. Yeah, you know, they got to make some moves there for him as well. I think I'd probably prefer Gurley, but again, I've always been more gun shy on rookie. You know, that I haven't seen. And Deshaun Watson and Wilson's a wash. I think right now, you know, Younger's good, I guess, but I think honestly, man, I think for Ed, I think it comes down to: would you rather have Gurley or would you rather have Barkley?
Yeah, that's pretty much the way it goes, I guess. You know, and there's other factors in terms of roster construction around that sort of matter. But I think for me, I don't think it's a bad trade by any means. I'm just not sure. I'm not even sure which side really wins.
I don't think it is a win-lose here. I think it's almost just a preference. You know, like,
yeah,
if this is the offer that he's received or he's sent out and someone's been receptive to, you know, someone, you know, if you made this offer to me, clearly I'm thinking, oh, I'd rather have Gurley Wilson, you know, and I can deal with the wide receiver difference between Landry and Gordon, you know, and he must like Barkley or some. I don't think I'd personally do it. But again, I'm not a huge dynasty guy. I get it if you want to go younger and that's your goal. But I don't think I'd do it.
I don't think you need to go younger with those guys that you're looking at. Wilson's 29 years old. Gurley's in his fourth year. Jarvis Landry is 25, which is 2 years younger than Josh Gordon. In terms of getting younger, like where the future is so uncertain down the road. I think Russell Wilson is an elite quarterback for the next, you know, 3 to 4 years at the least. What about Deshaun Watson? I have no idea.
Yeah.
Saquon Barkley, again, I think he's going to be great. I know as long as Sean McVay is there that Todd Gurley is an elite running back for the next five years or so. Maybe not 5 years, maybe four or three, yeah, that sort of thing. Yeah, you know what? I don't think I do this trade. I don't think I do it.
I almost think you're better off holding the guys you have, and I think you can maybe even get a better haul next year if you really wanted to move next year. You know, because I think you get the production this year. I think Gurley, Wilson both have great years, and I think their value only increases, and they're still not old. Like, it's not like someone else is going to look at it and be like, oh, well, those guys are old. Like, I don't want them. I wouldn't do it.
Yeah. And there, another thing too, I think Jarvis Landry's value, I think dips for this year is if Tyrod Taylor is throwing him the ball. I don't know that it dips if Baker Mayfield is throwing him the ball. I think Mayfield's a much better quarterback for Landry than Taylor is. Yeah. So depending on how quickly you think Mayfield's going to get in the lineup, the Landry Gordon scales can tip pretty quickly as well.
Yeah. Well, we took the long way around, Wallace, but we arrived at the conclusion of no.
We thought it out.
Yep. Hey, and that's what we're here for, guys. We are here to talk fantasy football. And we literally did that for maybe the first time in our history. So let's go with no. We're going to go hear from Michael on Instagram. He said, do you trust David Johnson in this year's draft? And I would guess that's coming back from the injury and the team making changes and everything else. Yeah, I mean, he seems like a nice guy. One, so I'd trust him if I hung out with him. Two, I think he'll be just fine with where he is on his ADP. And we're going to talk about him actually on the second part of the podcast coming up. But I'll say a general statement of yes, I trust him.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll get into detail on why you can trust him on the next podcast. So that's what we in the business call a goddamn teaser. I'll give this away. My draft strategy, if I can choose where I pick, I'm taking the third pick and I'm taking whoever's left of Bell, Gurley, and David Johnson. Love so it. I pretty much just told you exactly what I'm going to do since I do have the choice of pick in our draft. But I trust David Johnson enough that that's my preferred strategy in drafting this year.
All right. Well, if Walsh trusts, we all trust. Let's talk. Take the question here from S. Hall on Instagram. I think we kind of hit it, but we're going to throw it out there anyway. He said, is Russell Wilson going to be good without any receivers besides old Doug Baldwin? Yeah, he's going to be good. He's going to be really good. Baldwin's going to be really good, and that team is going to be we talked about this with Lockett and everything else.
Yeah, so. I mean, for half the time that he's been like an elite quarterback, his receivers were Doug Baldwin and Jermaine Kearse. So it's like, I don't think he needs that much more than Doug Baldwin, honestly.
He's basically got like me and like the DON out there with Doug Baldwin, and he does it every year. So
Don's out there in the flat, and Russell Wilson's still putting up 24 fantasy points a game. So
killing it. Killing it, and love you, Don. This last question comes in from it's an anonymous submission. He says, and I can understand why. He says, what are the chances that Mitch Trubisky finishes as a top 15 QB? He says, I made a bet and went with no, he won't. The loser of the bet has to dress like a woman and have a photo shoot.
So, I think he's dressing like a woman, dude. If he said no, Mitch Trubisky's going to have a really good year, I'm pretty sure. I'd say top 12. I'd even make a bet that he'd be.
Okay. Yeah. I think he finishes as a top 15 QB as well. So I think I would be a little bit concerned about how this bet is going to shake out for you.
Start picking out your dresses.
Yeah. I would say start going shopping, take a look, see what you like, and get ready for your photo shoot. And if that does happen, we'd love to send them in. We'll feature you on Instagram, or at least your league will probably be happy to send them in to us, and we will feature you on Instagram. And we'll shout back out to the podcast here because I think it's only fitting because Mitch Trubisky, big things to come. But, Walsh, that is going to do it for us here on the first part of the NFC West preview. And we are going to hit the next two teams, and we'll let you talk a little bit more about David Johnson as you've already given away your strategy. little cliffhanger for those of you. But, guys, get ready. Tune in for part two. Until then, I'm Nick Schreck. He's Nick Walsh. We're Let's Talk Fantasy Football, and we'll catch you on the flip side.
This has been Let's Talk Fantasy Football. Thanks for listening.